What is it you want? Real estate.
It's the Red Hot Real Estate Show, where we can all find out how's it going for buyers and sellers in the real estate market.
I have died and gone to real estate heaven.
Looking to move? Hoping to sell? Call in with your questions to real estate expert Mimi Shoneman with RE/MAX Results.
I'm going to go out and buy a house.
Here she is, your host, Mimi Shoneman.
Yes, she is here, Mimi Shoneman from the Red Hot Real Estate Group and RE/MAX Results. Hello, Mimi. How's it going over there?
Good morning.
I know it's been a busy, busy, busy week for you. And the, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's summer, winter, summer, winter, spring, or fall. You are running.
Well, you know, would you be sad if I told you I wasn't busy?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's spring, summer market. Yeah. Everybody's busy, right?
Yes, exactly. I'm just surprised because I think that, you know, when we first started doing this show 1.5 million years ago during the Stone Age, I feel like you were telling me, well, it was kind of seasonal. And now's a good, like, occasionally there would be a 2.5 day window where you weren't just crammed full.
I don't know. Seasonal since what? 2008?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know.
Like, I feel like there was a minute where you're like, oh, maybe I have, you know, now you're just like, it's really getting people prepared preemptively. It yes. sounds like all the time.
Yes. And we, speaking of preemptively, we've got our good friend Shelley Ferris with Sierra Pacific Mortgage here, our mortgage expert.
Good morning.
Yes.
Good morning.
Yes. And what's your NMLS number, please, Shelley?
Yes. Cover some business quick. Yes. 367-826. And the branch is 1788.
And I know we're going to cover a lot today, but I also saw that there was a little teaser here that at the end of the show, we're going to tell people how they can make a quick $125. Is that right. what I read?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Potentially.
So you got to listen to the whole show. Yes. And we'll see how you might be able to grab some cash.
What do you got?
Well, you know.
You're going to let's spill it.
No, she said you had to wait till the end of the show.
What?
Yes. Yeah,
okay. Well, we've got some good links posted as always, mm-hmm. and we've posted a new video. And of course, we've posted the link for the Red Hot House of the Week. So be sure and check that out.
Okay.
I wanted to let everybody know that you can actually check out the link right there and shop for houses here on mm-hmm. MyTalk 107.1. So our keyword is Red Hot. Go there and you can actually download the app and start shopping for houses right away.
And it's always good to go and check through all of those resources that you put on your Red Hot Real Estate show page, because it does help people do some of that initial legwork. Like, if you're trying to figure out what is actually going to motivate me to actually get up off the couch, or if nothing, sit on the couch and reach over and grab your mobile phone and make these initial phone calls, those links, they're right there in your hand.
You know, it's interesting because we're really, really fortunate that the listeners here at MyTalk, they give us a lot of trust, and we appreciate that so much. You know, but you know, when you're doing and meeting people out in the general public, they don't generally have that much trust right up in the beginning.
Fair right. enough. I agree. Yes. You know,
so it takes a while. Like, for instance, if you're at an open house, the seller wants people to sign in. You know, they want to know who's in their house.
Okay.
And that's fair, right? You would want to know. And so everybody's always a little bit reluctant to kind of, you know, share that information. You have to tell them, hey, we're not stalkers. We're not going to blow you up.
Right.
You know, it's just, you know, we want to make sure that, first of all, that we can share with the seller who's in the house. And secondly, you know, we can follow up with you to see right. if there's anything else we can do. So, you know, like, if you're just starting out, what is the first thing you really want to do? You want to look at pictures of houses.
Right.
And the next thing you really, really, really want to do is be in houses.
Right. You
know? And so, no one wants to talk to the lender. I can totally tell you that
it's
right
like,
now.
Listen, Shelley, nobody wants to go to you. It's like saying, drop your underwear. It's like, you know, it's true.
Wow,
you know, it's
okay.
like going to the doctor and say, cough.
Right.
It's like, but it's not
I think
that
it's
bad.
Because you're right. They do think that it's very, you know, to continue on that analogy, it's very exposing. They think they're going to have to give you all of their financial information.
We probe.
Right.
We
exactly. You know,
we financially probe. But we probe.
Yes. And you make it very comfortable, though, Shelley.
Well, right? I try.
Exactly.
So, Shelley, kind,
we have gotten
very
off the
kind.
Beaten path here,
right.
ladies.
Let's tell everybody, first of all, off the bat, what's your phone number?
Oh. 612-839-6918.
And that's how people can get a hold of Shelley with
right.
mortgage questions.
Yes.
So, Shelley.
ASAP.
You and I have had some spectacular issues.
Yes, we have gotten over some mighty big hurdles. Yes,
yes,
I would
we have.
Say.
And so that's what we're going to talk about today because, you know, if you're doing your job really, really well, your client doesn't really see all the things that go back behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
And that can be chaotic, mm-hmm. right? And same thing for you, Ms. Shannon, in your world.
Right.
It's like, you know, no, you don't get up on the stage, make somebody sweat. You just get up there and you go.
Yes. Yes. Right? And it is a matter of, like, you don't see all of the, there's a reason why you don't want to know exactly, as we put it, but what goes on behind the curtains. Mm-hmm. You don't need to know all that. We just mm-hmm. make it all work.
That's mm-hmm. right.
And so I think it must be very freeing in your industry for them just to go, well, I showed up and everything was taken care of and the paperwork was done. Mm-hmm. But that also means that, you know, you as a potential purchaser, there are always some little tips that we give to not make your realtor or mortgage person have to go through too many hoops. There are some things you could do to not make the process so complicated, right?
Yes, yeah. But you know, there are things that pop up that nobody could have predicted,
right? Fair enough.
It is mm-hmm. like new territory. You've discovered the new world.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And then it's like, figure it out.
That's what makes my job actually interesting and fun, though, is like all the puzzle pieces that you put together and all the knowledge that you have built on over the course of all the years, because that transaction you closed 7 years ago is kind of like this one. Maybe we could make that. Hey, that does work. Excellent. We'll keep marching towards closing without anybody knowing the sausage making behind the curtain.
Yes. Like you say. Mm-hmm. Sausage making. Oh, man.
I like that analogy.
Yes.
So, you know, I think that that's a really good thing for our listeners to know that, you know, if you do have junk in your trunk that maybe hasn't been exposed to any light in a while, we can probably figure it out. So we would love it so, so much if our listeners and our callers would call in today with things that they think might could be skeletons in their trunk.
Ah, fair enough.
That they are afraid to get into home ownership because they don't know who to call.
Right. That number is 651-641-1071. It's 651-641-1071.
So, Shelley, tell us a little bit about what's going on in the market from the mortgage perspective.
Well, the market is great, as we kind of talked about when we started off. Rates are great, often below 4, if you're willing to pay points. You know, always, if you're willing to pay points,
what's
you're going to get under 4.
Points again? I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thanks for calling that out, Shannon. A point is 1% of your mortgage amount.
Okay.
And you can use points to buy things, either longer-termed locks or to buy your interest rate down.
Okay.
So that's what points are.
So, for instance, if your house is $200,000.
Yes.
You could, if you think the interest rate is high, right? And you're like, gosh, if I just wish it was like another percentage or half percentage lower. It makes such a big difference in my payment.
Yes.
A point in that instance is $2,000.
Okay.
So if you could give Ms. Shelley here $2,000, what can you do with $2,000?
Right. Exactly. So maybe that, depending on the day, because that changes too, how much that $2,000 buys you. But then we look at that and we do the math. And I do the math for you. You don't have to do the math.
Thank you.
So I'm going to tell you how much you'll save by buying that down. So will that money really benefit you in the long run?
Okay.
How long are you going to live there? How much is the benefit? We marry those two things up and figure out the years it'll take you to recoup. And then we make our decisions.
So what does that look like? Is that like a half point of interest? Or can it be more?
Could be a quarter. Could be an eighth.
Okay.
You know, so then it might not be worth it to spend the money.
So how does that differ from different people?
So every mortgage company prices loans along their own guidelines, their own... I don't even know what to call it. Algorithms, I guess, is the best word. So, credit score, longevity on the job, where you're located, all of these things mix up to give you your interest rate, how much you're putting in down payment, what type of loan you're getting. All of these things mix in to determine what rate you get and how much the points are. And then tied to market, you know, so market changes every day. And we're talking about the bond market, so not the, you know, stock market, but I know I'm getting deep here now and
Well, that is why people to know that they can get a cheaper interest rate if you got a little cash sitting in the bank.
And I think that also helps because that goes back to what you're saying before about a lot of things that are going into this whole process that you have to keep track of, Shelley, and that you keep track of, Mimi. But that's the reason why I don't have to be an expert in this, is that I can use you as that resource that will keep track of all of these different cogs that go into the wheel that gets me my mortgage.
So let's just ask you this question right here. Mm-hmm. Did you know that you could get a cheaper interest rate if you paid a little more cash?
No, I had to ask what points were again, remember?
Mm-hmm. So, see, I think, exactly. I don't think that points get discussed anymore.
I agree.
I think that's a really good thing to talk about.
Yeah, we do. When we do loan application, we talk about that. Like this is, I show them, I bring up the screen. There's no smoke and mirrors here. Right. I bring up the screen and I show them the pricing. Nothing to hide. This is what it is.
Right.
This is what the rate is without any cost. This is what it is with cost. Mm-hmm. This is what your payment will be with cost. What do you want to do?
Well, I know for a fact nobody talked to me about points when I was buying my first house.
Right.
I think we might could have done it.
Yeah,
because we were paying like 7.25% for interest.
Wow.
Because I'm not quite a dinosaur, but yeah. I'm like, you know, so 7.25%, you know, let's talk to our friends out there that have paid 18% for their house. Grief.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. That was in the 80s.
Yes.
So, you know, that's not that long ago.
Not that long ago.
And the music was fabulous.
And the hair was great.
Yeah. See, I don't miss the 80s. I feel like we were all shiny and lots of bright colors.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. They were pretty good. Yeah.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
So we're going to wrap it up and we come back. We're going to talk a little bit about closing costs and what Shelley is seeing as a mortgage professional. Yes, are we getting closing costs as buyers or are we not?
And you can also call and be part of the Red Hot Real Estate Show at 651-641-1071. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Red Hot Real Estate Show here on My Talk 107.1. I'm Ms. Shannon. In studio today, our good friend Mimi Shoneman, licensed realtor with RE/MAX Results, and also Shelley Ferris from Sierra Pacific Mortgage, helping you guys out today.
All right, so Shelley, let's just talk about it. Let's hit it right on the head. You and I don't see things the same with closing costs, do we?
Yes, no, we don't. Yeah, because, I get purchase agreements with seller paid closing costs. And we were just kind of talking about this on the break. You know, your question about, well, how long has the house been on the market? I don't look at that. That's not something that I see necessarily or even dive into, but you certainly would. You would see that based off of what you're showing.
Yes. And so it's interesting. You know, you're going out with people and they're saying, well, what do you think? Could we get closing costs? It depends, right? It depends on how long has the house been on the market? What kind of condition is it in? If it's flying off the shelf on the first couple of days, what's your strategy? I mean, are you really bringing your A game to that seller to say, yeah, take my offer. And by the way, give me $6,000 on top of it. So it is a case by case scenario. And I think to make the strongest offers out there, our sellers are seeing no closing costs. Will sellers do it? Yeah, because you don't really ever know their motivation.
Right.
You know, maybe they got to go now and, you know, you're the best thing since sliced bread and you don't know they think that, but maybe they do.
Because it's a risk. That's just it. You're asking them to put their best foot forward if they really want the house, and putting closing costs in the offer isn't their best foot forward necessarily, so they're risking losing the house.
But yeah. Shelley, when you are working with me from the mortgage side, you're saying that sometimes since you know my numbers, you'll go, well, this is the best you can do at the moment.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And so we're like, you know, so is it the same as when you, Shelley and Mimi, when you guys are discussing it with me from a perspective going, well, all I qualify for right now is an FHA. And so you're going, well, we can still look, but that's not the best that you can ever do. So do you usually work with people to try and to get them to, we can make an offer now, but it's in with this particular caveat and we'll try and get you to a better offer maybe later.
I don't understand your question.
I guess I'm saying if I'm sitting there and the only way I can make an offer is because I can say, but they have to cover the closing costs. Go ahead and make the offer.
Right. Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a case by case basis because all they can do is say no, right?
Okay.
And after they've said no to you about 3 or 4 or 5 times, that gets to be painful.
Right. Fair enough. Okay.
So, the thing that I see are the people that have the cash in the bank and they still don't want to pay their own closing costs.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so.
And that's frustrating.
Okay.
For sure. Because it does make your, and I talk to people about that at App. You know, the more you ask, you're looking for a deal, you're asking for them to pay closing costs. It's too much. It's too many layers here.
Okay.
You get too much competition, you get trampled on. I mean, no one's going to take it.
So part of the reason why you're saying that is that lots of times people just go, well, you're just, they kind of go into with this swap meet mentality thinking that they can.
I just really believe that buyers are more realistic than they ever have been.
Okay.
Because they are hearing, they're listening, they're studying, And I believe they know it, but there's just an instinct in all of us to try to get it for less.
Okay.
Everything. I agree no matter with you.
What. Yes.
Because it's like it's a win. It's like, okay. Oh, I just got to win. You know, so sellers right. sometimes give them a little morsel. Let them win. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And let's talk about the up and over strategy that we have been seeing a lot of. If you've got to look at the comps of a property to make sure what it really is worth. When you're making an offer, and your realtor should be doing comps for you so that you know that you're making a smart offer. And so let's say you go into a competitive situation where you're in multiple offers and the listing agent is calling for highest and best.
Okay.
And you say, well, I'll pay more. You know, that's great. But if the property is not worth that, then it doesn't appraise.
Okay.
What happens when it comes back? Do you have the money to make up the difference? So let's say you went up and over. The house is listed at 250 and you say, I'm going to 275,001.
Yes.
Yes.
Strategic
my strategy.
Like that.
Yes.
You watched a lot of Prices Right. You're ready to win. Yeah. I got it. Okay.
Yeah, I want that bicycle. So anyway, now I lost my train of thought. So you go up and over and then we run the numbers. Thanks. And I say to you, Miss Shannon, I think that the highest that's ever sold in this neighborhood is 269.
Okay.
And you're like, that's $6,000 difference. What do? I really, really want that house. Well, what happens? Do you have $6,000 sitting in your bank?
Yes.
Do you have mom that could gift you $6,000 if it doesn't come in? You can't rely on the seller all the time making up the difference. And I think people think, I'll just take the risk and the seller will just drop the price.
Right.
Maybe they won't. What happens if they don't, Shelley?
Right. So if they don't, then you're contracted to buy the house at the higher amount because that's what you signed the purchase agreement to buy it at. Most cases, they come somewhere and they make some kind of meeting in the middle, if you will, or something to that effect. But to Mimi's point, not always. And not do they have to. You know what I mean? So,
and then you've spent money on an inspection
and
an appraisal.
Yep.
You've probably given your notice on your apartment.
Right.
Maybe there's transactions in the you know, maybe you're selling something and there's a whole line of contingencies behind you that this sale is very important. So, you know, there's just a lot of things that you have to really think about and talk about. So up and over can be risky.
It can be. And sellers, oftentimes, I was telling Mimi at the break, too, aren't accepting the up and over offers because they're afraid that it's not going to appraise.
Oh, fair enough.
Listen, if it was going to appraise for that, wouldn't I have listed it for that? You know what I mean? That's kind of the attitude from the listing agent side of things. So, yeah, there's a lot of moving parts here. And good news is that we haven't had any value problems in the last couple of months. At least I haven't personally, I haven't heard of any. So this usually happens at the end of summer where our values are pretty good, but there's still wonky deals that just go crazy high, like what you just described. And then, now what? Now what? You go back to the drawing board is what you do.
It all goes back to talking people through the scenarios and the possibilities, right? Because there's a lot of moving pieces that could happen. And, you know, we talk about it all the time, over and over again. And sometimes we might forget that you have never heard that before.
Right.
You know, and that's important information for you to know.
Mm-hmm.
So that you're making smart decisions when you get ready to do something.
Mm-hmm. Because maybe I'm sitting there going, well, this, you know, in my head, when I'm going back and forth, since I'm not in it every day, it looks like there's this, when you're saying there's multiple offers, that feels like one of those TV reality show bidding wars, that there's all these numbers going around and I'm just trying to make myself look more sparkly. You're saying, no, there's actual more real life. You know, it's not that kind of sparkle. It's no, they're picking the best offer of all of the same dollar amounts, kind of, is what it is.
It's not always the highest price that's going to win the deal.
That's right.
Okay. So I put a lot of stock in who the mortgage person and the mortgage company is. Because if I know something about the mortgage company and I don't like it or I've had a bad experience with it, that is a strike. Okay. That's a strike.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are waiving home inspections.
Okay.
I don't think that's a great idea for buyers, but if you do it, that's a win for a seller, right?
Right.
Okay. You can go immediately into pending status.
Right. So, and maybe you're in the trades. Maybe you're not as afraid of whatever would happen or come out of that home inspection as somebody else might be who has no way of fixing anything.
Okay.
Or whatever. Yeah. So maybe that's not as big a risk to you. And that really is a win for the seller. So that makes your offer better. Even if it's not more money, it's still a better offer.
Right. And then there's the written statement in the purchase agreement. So sometimes you can check that the earnest money will automatically go back to the buyer, or you can put a little pressure on the loan officer to provide a written statement saying that the person is all the way fully through underwriting by a certain date.
Mm-hmm.
That is just a smidge more impressive to a seller.
I think so, too. Yeah. And it really, it doesn't make it get all the way to that closing before you find out it could fall apart.
Fair enough.
It gives the seller kind of a heads up of, ooh, we're having some problems here. I can't give you that commitment letter, because once that commitment letter goes out, that loan better close.
Okay.
Yes. And that the thing that I think that people need to understand is these are contracts. These are rules contracts. These are not, if you are kind of like, oh, you know, kind of loosey-goosey kind of person, and you're like, well, I don't understand why that's such a big deal. Oh, because it's in writing on a legal document.
Right.
And it is a big deal. Lots of it is a big deal. So, you know, you got to pay attention to the dates and contingency deadlines and pay real strict attention to it. And we track all of that for our clients.
Right, right.
All right. Well, we are going to go to break again. And what are we going to cover when we get back, Shelley?
Oh, we're going to talk about if you've had problems in your life, if you've had judgments or bankruptcies or foreclosures, what have we done in the mortgage and real estate world to help get over those? Don't think you're down and out. We can get you through.
Wonderful. And I know, Mamie, we also have your Red Hot House of the Week when we get back, right?
We do.
All right. We'll be right back here on the Red Hot Real Estate Show on MyTalk 107.1. Welcome back to the Red Hot Real Estate Show, here with Mimi Shoneman and Shelley Ferris. And that music means that we are time and ready to talk about our Red Hot House of the Week.
Okay, so we have a perfect, perfect townhouse in Cottage Grove.
Yay.
At 6794 Meadowgrass Lane South. Priced at $210,000. It's a two-bedroom with a loft and a two-car attached garage in unit with a beautiful private setting, all grassy knolls. Absolutely amazing. Low association dues. Yeah, it's move-in ready and perfect. $210,000.
Wow.
And I'm just going to tell you, we've already called for highest and best. We got offers immediately. Today at 7 is the deadline. If you want to see it, call me. 651-578-2218.
Make sure you go check that out. Yeah, I mean, Shelly, I'm like you. I have a kid now and all this stuff. But okay. Single Shannon. No. Single Shannon was very happy with her townhouse. That will, you know, kind of thing. Like, now I need a yard, you know, kind
it's
of thing.
It's got a yard.
Back that doesn't.
It's an end unit. Yeah. So, I mean,
okay.
Yeah, nice.
Nice indeed.
And we've got it posted on our show page, so you can check it out along with all of our other really great links. Be sure, if you're shopping for property or you're thinking about selling, that you check out our links on there, because it's good, good information.
Right. So make sure you check it out. Again, you can always go to mytalk1071.com, keyword red hot.
I'd give anything to have, like, you know what? If I just had like 100 of those.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Yes.
Although,
come on, builders. Build 100 of those.
100 of those. Please.
That's like the edge of the brownie pan, though. It can't all be edges.
You like the edges?
Yes. Oh, that's my favorite.
That's my favorite. See, I like the corner. Yeah.
See, I like the gooey middle.
Oh, see, you can have it. I will scoop all of that deliciousness out and give it to you. All I want is the edge.
Made a pairing here, ladies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we've gone there. Let's talk about frosting.
Oh, you want edge pieces or like?
Yeah.
I'm a middle. I don't love frosting.
Oh my gosh, I'm just the opposite.
Oh, see, it was perfect. We should just always eat one adjacent to one another.
Buttercream.
Yes, yeah. I like it, but I don't want all of it. So you can have the rest of it.
You cannot give me enough buttercream.
Oh my gosh. I know what to give this woman for her birthday.
No. Yeah, okay. A ladle, and a bunch of buttercream frosting.
Yes, for sure. Okay, we're talking about real estate, I think. So, Shelley.
Yes.
We've been looking at all kinds of things behind the scenes.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about judgments.
Yes.
From back in the day.
Oh, boy, I'm telling you. You talk about behind the scenes. That stuff used to be right out there on the credit report. Lenders were fully aware of what was going on with those kind of things.
Okay.
And they are not there anymore. They pulled them from credit reports.
Okay.
And why is that?
It's fair credit reporting, yada, 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 yada.
Yes.
So, okay, I get it. You don't want to be judged because of your judgments or collections, et cetera, et cetera. But They rear their ugly head in title work. And so now what's happened? You've bought a house and now it rears its ugly head in the title work. 2 days before closing, these judgments appear.
Now, what type of judgments do people, you know, historically do we see?
So let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a story about a client that we just closed this past week, a wonderful listener. He had a business that went belly up. It was back in the meltdown. And, you know, a lot of businesses went belly up at that time. And when business stopped coming in, there was no more income. And so if there's no more income, you can't pay your vendors, no matter what you've promised to pay them, or the house has closed and you can't pay them. He was a builder type. Yes. He had that kind of vendor. And so a couple of them had quite high payments coming to them and put a judgment on our borrower.
Okay.
Well, our borrower, he was in partnerships with people. It was also tied to the business. I mean, it was messy. And he did lots of legal stuff to get that all cleaned up in the past. And now the time has passed enough that he was eligible to buy a house. And so he did. And about a week ago, before closing, these judgments come up in title work, these past judgments that he had claimed in his bankruptcy. So he's clear, right? I've claimed them in my bankruptcy. They are no longer attached to me.
Right.
Well, not so legally.
Oh.
So we worked with title, we worked with the underwriter, we looked at programs, we looked at different ways to structure the transaction so that the past could stay in the past and not affect the legality of our house. So what does all that mean?
Yes.
When a mortgage company closes, they want to be in first lien position. And if you've got judgments in your past, those nasty little suckers can sneak in between before we get recorded.
Okay.
And now that's all well and good if you make your payments on time and life goes on or whatever. But if for some reason you don't and you lose that house, that judgment person that got into first lien position is first in line to get the money in the foreclosure, not the mortgage company, as it should be. And so that's what could have happened. But instead, what we found was we closed in what's called a purchase money mortgage, and that kept the past in the past. Our fantastic title person from Results Title gave our borrowers a packet of information that they could fill out and file so that that never has to happen to them again.
Okay.
So they're 100% in the clear now, and the mortgage company is protected because of this purchase money mortgage.
Okay.
So what's
again, something that's
mortgage?
Floating around behind the scenes that you think is taken care of. I'm taking care of. You're going, oh, it's really not. And
right.
So we need a professional like you, Shelley.
Exactly.
Okay. Got it.
Exactly.
Okay.
And only because of the experience and other transactions that we've had and the experience of the title person were we able to marry all this together and go, this is the solution so we can still close today.
And so lots of things can show up last minute like that. For instance, student loan debt. Tell me if this is true or not. Student loan debts get reported quarterly.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
Right. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So theoretically, you could have a client that you come in, you pre-approve them, and there's no student loan debt on, no lates, no nothing on the credit report.
Right.
And right before closing, something could show up, a late or what have you.
Right. Or a new loan. Maybe they signed a new student loan because it's just normal life for them. You don't stop your life just because you're buying a house.
Right.
You normal life through life. And then all of a sudden you signed your student loan note in May and we're supposed to close at the end of the July and my old credit report doesn't show this new debt and poof, there it is.
And so what happens when that happens?
First, I pull all my hair out. Then, no.
Yeah.
You know, I can only describe what I do, but I pull back and I get really slow. Like I know loan officers that start to get really fast and get really panicky or whatever. I get really slow and introspective and look at the whole picture and look at what do we have in income? Oh, maybe we have a little more income here we could squeeze out. Oh, you got a raise? Oh, you could get a cosigner? Oh, you could get a gift? Oh, there's all kinds of moving things in your transaction all the time that a good loan officer looks at the whole picture, doesn't just look at that one thing and go, oh my God, we're dead.
Exactly. Nobody wants to be dead.
Yes.
Especially when you've already, spent the money on the thing, you're already invested. You know, I tell folks all the time, please don't fall in love with this house
until
you have the keys.
Gotcha.
Please don't, because, anything could happen, right?
It's true. Yeah.
Let's just say, let's talk about all the things that could happen. So we've got a borrower. This is hypothetical. Let's just say that borrower is getting a gift from a family member to help with the down payment. What happens if the family member passes away before the gift comes and then their estate gets tied up in probate?
Yeah.
I'm going to get that money into the account right away.
Exactly.
And get that gift funds documented.
Right.
So talk about gift fund documentation, because I talk to my clients about that all the time. Please don't do anything with your money until you've had a proper discussion with your loan officer so that you're doing it right.
Right. Yeah. If you ever, I tell people that too. If you're in a transaction, so you've signed a purchase agreement and we're headed towards closing, and anything financial happens, someone asks you for your social security number for any reason, that should be a warning flag to you. Am I accidentally opening up a new credit card?
Okay. Yes.
Oh, I shouldn't be doing that.
Right. Kohl's 20% off.
Yeah. It's not.
Don't
worth it, people.
Do it.
You don't need new. If you don't need new tires, don't get a credit card.
Go barefoot. Yes. Go barefoot as long as you can.
Right.
Get the shoes after you close.
Exactly. Exactly. But gift documentation, you know, when it's a conventional transaction, all we need is a signed gift letter and the gifter wires the money to the title company. That's it. There's no more documentation. FHA, we need the signed gift letter, the statement from the gifter showing they have the money to give, tracking the money into your account that it's been gifted, and then that's how a gift is tracked on FHA. So they're very different, very, very different. We like the conventional method better, obviously.
But there's no reason to wait till the last minute
to get that done.
You should do that as soon as all the contingencies are finished, get it into the bank, get it so nothing can happen.
So it's there and it's settled.
Right.
Exactly. Okay. Right.
All right. Right.
Yeah, because what if you get in a spat with mom and she's like, you're out.
Yeah. You know? Good thing you got the money.
Yeah, because you can always, and if nothing goes wrong, then you can always give it back.
Right.
Like if you're like, if not, or if it turns out that something goes wrong on the other side, you can give it back. Just
That's
get your ducks in a
exactly.
row.
Okay, exactly.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, a tree falls on the house. So it has nothing to do with you. A big storm came.
Right.
Right? Well, I'm not going to buy the house with the tree on it.
Tree on it, right. That was not.
I don't see why
that
not.
That was not in the photos.
Now it's a tree
right.
house.
Yeah, exactly. Bonus.
So, Shelley, y'all are killing me. We're going to come back from this break. Let's talk about some medical bankruptcies.
Yes, let's talk about that.
See what kind of scenarios that you can get over.
We can get over that. And then I'm going to tell you a story about another gentleman. Still can't believe that one. About a foreclosure that happened 9 years ago. And then we're going to talk about $125.
Right. You can also be part of the show. The number is 651-641-1071. We'll be right back on the Red Hot Real Estate Show. Thank you again for joining us for the Red Hot Real Estate Show here on MyTalk 107.1, also streaming at MyTalk1071.com. I'm Ms. Shannon, here with Mimi Shoneman from RE/MAX Results, also from Sierra Pacific Mortgage, Shelley Ferris. I'm giving you some great information this morning.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of things that can be happening behind the scenes that can be problematic. We know people have lives, you know, and lives ebb and flow. You can be up and you can be down financially, you know, where you're thinking about getting a house. And you may even be surprised to find things on your credit report that you thought should not possibly still be there.
Right.
It's like, what?
Yes.
I had a Shell gas card when I was 16 years old. What's that doing on here? You know, so, don't be afraid of the credit report. Actually, it's your friend. It'll tell you what information is out there that needs to be known so that you can qualify for a mortgage.
Right, right. I tell people too, don't like blindly trust these sites that, you know, what I don't want to name them, but you know what sites I'm talking about, with the app and your credit card that gives the score and the yada yada. Those are not mortgage scores, folks. And I've seen as much as 100-point swing, both good and bad, from those sites. So what you want to do is have a mortgage person like myself. If you're scared about it affecting your score, let me pull a soft credit pull for you so I can at least tell you what scores are and what's affecting you. And I can help give you advice on how to make it better. I do it all the time. I was on the phone all day yesterday with people actually doing exactly that.
Awesome.
Yes.
So let's talk about medical conditions that might show up that would cause problems that you wouldn't expect.
Right. A lot of folks don't know. So there are provisions. So the general rule is if you've had a bankruptcy, you can't get an FHA mortgage for 2 years from the discharge and 4 years on a conventional mortgage. But you can get an FHA mortgage after 1 year after bankruptcy if it was medical. And a lot of people don't know that. So if you've had a situation where maybe you got sick and they didn't know how to diagnose you, and then all of a sudden, then they finally did, and but now you've had interrupted income, and your wife has had interrupted income because she's had to take care of you, and you've had doctor appointments, and you've had medical bills that you weren't expecting, and all of this has created a medical nightmare for you that bankruptcy is the only way out. Don't think you have to wait 2 years. Wait 1 year and give me a call.
Oh.
Because if we can describe to underwriting that this is medical, and we can give them the documentation to prove it, and it's not that hard to get, folks, we can close you. I had a couple that did that here not that long ago, and got in with zero down payment. There, and so you don't get a worse interest rate or anything like that. It's just, they just want to see 1 year from that bankruptcy, and then you can go forward. All good. All good.
So what sorts of thing do they want to see from the bankruptcy?
So they want to see that most of what was bankrupted was medical bills. They want to see that you're back on track. So you can't be still falling behind, right? You have to have kind of recovered from everything, really, because that's what we're telling the underwriter. That was then. This is now. We've recovered. That was what would happen to me. What I do about it? I claim bankruptcy. Why won't it happen again? I've been diagnosed, so I'm back on track. I'm making money. Here's my history. And that can be overcome.
And how much money and history do they need to show proof that things are different now?
So they just need to show 12 months of cleared credit. So they don't want to have any lates in the last 12 months. And they want to see that your pay stubs show that you are back to full time. You aren't missing work. You aren't low on income and such.
And let's just say that the caretaker, in those situations has had to either step away from work or step down to part time, or their work is like not consistent all the time. How does that impact people's ability to get approved?
Right. So your current history on mortgage, or current history, pardon me, on income is the most important. So I had a couple here not too long ago that came to me, and she had been taking hours on a, call-in kind of basis. So they weren't, static, like 40 hours a week or whatever, just whenever she got called in. But she's, quote unquote, I've got air quotes here, gonna go back to full time. Well, when you do, give me a shout, because you're really kind of shooting yourself in the foot by doing that, by doing sporadic hours. Think of it from an underwriter's perspective. How much income should I give them credit for? The income that I have proof that you've made, or the income that you tell me you're going to make here coming up? So that's why you need the proof. So stay in your job. Don't take these, it's summer, I want to relax, and then think you're going to buy a house in 10 minutes. So yeah.
Let's talk about people that have cash jobs.
Oh, right. Cash jobs. Those
are
rough.
Part-time job that's a regular, W-2, but they do stuff on the side. They mow yards. They clean houses. They fish.
Right.
Go places and tell jokes.
They tell jokes.
I know people like that.
I've never heard of anybody that got paid like that. But
there are mortgages for people like that. There actually are. Yeah. So, but the problem is you can't do first-time homebuyer money with loans like that. You can't get down payment assistance if that's the way you're paid. So you can get mortgages with good 20% down payment, and we get your mouse recent 12 months or 24 months bank statements and average your deposits over the course of that time, and that's what we then use as your income. But you got to have 20% down. That takes the risk away from the lender for using just the deposits as your pay.
Okay, so you've got a lot of cash, you're sitting on a lot of cash, but you can't show it on your W-2s. You're saying that with Sierra Pacific, you guys can average the bank statements.
Right. Average the deposits for the last 12 or 24 months, whichever is more favorable, or however you're paid or whatever. And then that's what we use for your monthly income. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yes, yes, okay. Yes. Out of the box. Out of the
that
box.
That is out of the box. Yes. I love that.
Let's talk a little bit about a borrower that I talked to, a potential borrower. He had a foreclosure 9 years ago. This is a really wonky one.
Okay.
Foreclosure 9 years ago. So if you had foreclosure, right, you think, okay, it's done. It's behind me. It's in the past. I don't have to worry about that anymore. Remember that a definition of foreclosure is that you lose your house to the bank because you stopped making payments. And so then that debt on that that home is not paid back in full. The bank takes possession, sells the house for as much as they can, but usually it's a distressed property and not, they don't get as much for the home as they, okay, as what you lended on it. So this particular gentleman that happened to, and he, but it was 9 years ago. So, okay, what's in the past is in the past. I'm going to go out and buy a house again. I got good stable income, yada, yada, yada. Bought a house. Guess what happened? In the title work, 2 weeks before closing, pops up the second mortgage that he had on his house from 9 years ago. Can you believe that?
Wow. That is unreal.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Yeah. We see that, don't we?
And we do see it. Yeah. Absolutely. So don't be an ostrich and put your head in the sand and assume that that all went well and that's all gone.
So that is a shocker for folks, is because if your short sale or your foreclosure back in the day, back in the downtime, you think, because most likely you had an attorney of some sort involved in this whole process,
right,
whether
right,
it's
right,
the bank's attorney or somebody. I'm telling you, back then, those banks would lose every document that you'd ever send them. Mm-hmm. It was madness.
It was madness.
And so when you would get one closed, you know, you were relying on the short sale attorney to make sure that those documents are recorded.
Right.
That's the only way you can prove that that second was removed. Right.
Exactly right. Yeah. And that was not the case for this gentleman. So this $53,000 second mortgage rears its ugly head. He doesn't happen to have an extra $53,000 in the bank to pay
right,
it off.
Imagine.
So, mm-hmm, the only way to deal with it after many, many, many phone calls and looking into it was to bankrupt the debt. That was the only way he could do it. And now
that's got
to
be painful. You think that you went through that and now you're on a new journey,
but look,
and it still popped up.
Yes.
You just wanted to handle it back then, I'm sure.
So let's just talk about it. So I don't know this person.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a house already an offer involved with this particular situation?
So I don't know a lot about what happened 9 years ago. Oh, you mean what in the recent? Yes,
is that how
a year
you found
ago.
Out?
Right. No, it wasn't my transaction a year ago. He found out about it a year ago. But yes, he is under contract. He's 2 weeks from closing.
Okay. So so think about that. You know, if so, let's just talk that through. So how would you reverse engineer that so that you could find that information out sooner?
So, you know, you can do name searches on yourself. They cost like $50 through the county. You can do that. You can do, you can go through the courts, the bankrupt court systems, and it lists what your debts were at that time that were associated with your social security number, your name, your address, all the stuff at that time. It is findable. You have to do some work.
Why would you even think to look,
though? You wouldn't even think to look.
That's what I'm
exactly
saying. Like,
it.
I'm saying,
okay,
if you had a bankruptcy, a foreclosure, or a short sale in the down market,
should I go look just cause?
Yes. Look it up.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Do the search yourself, especially before you want to do something like buy a house.
Because I even have homework now. I'm like, I was one of those people that had to
wouldn't
go through
you?
A short sale.
You would certainly think everything
I
was
think
taken
I'm
care
done.
Of.
It wouldn't even occur to me to go look at
it. Yeah, because if you had a home equity line of credit, that had to actually get settled and negotiated during a short sale. And so once that happened,
somebody didn't do something right for this gentleman.
My goodness.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. And what happens if your short sale attorney dies?
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah. And where do you go to get that information?
It happens.
Jeez, lots of things to think about.
So don't be an ostrich. What we're telling you is reach out.
And we always remind you to reach out to Shelly. Shelly, real quick, tell them you have time to give them your number and all that information.
Well, I'm going to give you instead, go to the website.